is Dr. Yun Vo.
Good evening.
Okay, we have a real interesting talk today, so put on your seatbelts and let's take off. Omar Reviewed on the Rav. The whole year we're holding now down there. It's 7 lines down, I really like that. Omar Reviewed on the Rav called Shishba Ma'alot Moradot Adamu Bema Shabbat making Bechatzi Yemehim. Cities that are made like Haifa, San Francisco, where you're spending all your time climbing hills, going down hills, climbing hills, takes away half your lifetime. What do you mean, Meitim Sakadaita? I mean, people don't have a different lifetime in San Francisco. Well, there's other issues. Ela'ema Maskinim Bechatzi Yemehim. It means they get old. Half of their beds, they just are so schleppy already. I'm going to win a break of Yeshua. Yep, that's what did me in. It's Hani Muyota, the Beberi, the Beinarish, as Kanun. It's all of these hills that I'm constantly walking over here between Beberi and Narish, they did me in. Tonarabam. Balarav'ah, getting back now to our city. Balarav'ah, and by the way, there's a beautiful deer, the Lashon Balarav'ah. When you're coming to square a city, Mirab'ah, Biribu'ah Olam. You square that city only along the directions of the world. In other words, northeast, southwest. As we said, it's a longitudinal and latitudinal matrix. But, note the diak, only if balarav'ah. If it's already merubah, as we saw before, then we don't go, we take whatever it is. If you have to be merubah, then already you go to the northeast, southwest. Now, how about, if it notin tzvona letzvona olam, droma ledroma olam, now, how do you know where north is and where south is, because without compasses, you're in big trouble. So how would you actually accurately define north and south? Simanecha, the way to know what to look for, is that you have a gala b'tzafon v'akrav b'doron. Your clearest indication is to use the stars. Use the stars of Agala on the north, which is fascinating, because the question is, what is Agala? Nowadays, Agala is used for the bear. So Agala Gdola is big bear, and Agala Ktana is small bear. But the mashma'ut is that what the Gemara is referring to is the Dipper. So Agala B'tzafon, you see what's interesting is that at the time of the Gemara, the Big Dipper did not point to Polaris. So they would have to have used the Little Dipper. But in any event, it could be the Agala is Lashon Nim Lashon Yigul. So it looks like it's being pulled, you know, by something. So it's like a still used. That's where we use Agala. And Agala is pulled by a shore.
There's a rotation of the stars.
No, Polaris was in the north, but the relationship between the two, the perspective of the earth that now is that it happens to be that at night you look up and you see the Big Dipper pointing towards Polaris. But there's, of course, this kind of, I mean, it doesn't, you don't keep precisely the same perspective forever. It's a big universe out there. It's even a big galaxy.
Isn't that long?
Yeah, no, it is. It's enough to move it out that it's no longer pointing directly at Polaris. So you have Akrav Bidoron, then you use Scorpio to the south, and then you know which way is south, which way is north. If you don't know how to make it square by being accurately north and south, it's very simple to tell, really, as long as you spend enough time marking things. Because if you spend the year noticing where the sun is, you'll notice that in the Tekufa, according to Tekufa, using the seasons, you can mark north and south. If you have a long winter day, so then Chama Yotza B'yom Aroch V'Shokat B'yom Aroch. If you watch how the sun rises and sets on a long day, then you're looking at the north, basically. You just draw a line between those two points, you're looking at the north of your sky. If you take a look in the summertime, the Chama Yotza B'yom Katzar V'Shokat B'yom Katzar, and draw a line across that, you're looking at the southern sky. And so you've got Tkufat Nisan, Tkufat Tishrei, and of course, in the middle periods, where you're closer to the equinox, and then the Chama is Yotza B'chatzi, Mizrach Shokat B'chatzi Ma'arav, and then in the middle days, it's spring days, and autumn days, you have the sun coming up and going down in the mid east and west. So how do we see this? In the Pasuk Shema, Holech El Darom V'Sovev El Tzafon. What does that mean? Holech El Darom, during the day, the sun is always traveling across if you're living in the northern hemisphere above the tropics. So then you're looking always at the sun traveling in the daytime in the south, because the angle of the earth is always, you're always going to be above the sun towards the north. So the sun is always so Holech from one direction to the other along the south. Sovev El Tzafon, and then twists around, and that's during the night, because if you extend the same process, you understand that the sun must have gone around towards the north. It is now coming up in the north, going down, and traveling in the south. So that's sovev, sovev, holecha ruach. So then you have al pnei mizrach, Book name Arav, and says, so vave indeed. If you make a mark every day along the line where the sun is coming up, the sun is setting, you'll watch, as I'm sure you've done, you'll watch the sun going along the western side from south to north, every day a little bit more north as it gets closer and closer to the winter, and every day more south as it gets closer and closer to the summer. So you can actually watch, you have a little line at which point you know that the sun is going to rise at a particular day. That's how they make Stonehenge, all these little cute, ma'arot, where they have the sun falling directly at that particular point where Avodah Zarah is at a particular moment. If the sun would be in the summer, let's say, that would be towards the north, would give you a long day going around like this, right? And in the winter, which we're about to get to,
to the south,
right?
And the angle would be...
So that's called Sovev. Okay. It's because it's going around, but it's because it's Sovev. We look at it as if it's going underneath and then turning around and coming up at different places.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
So that's the Sovev.
What
book
is it?
It's this Lublin notation. I also put out so many different publications now.
Rabbi Sproul has it. Uh-huh. And I was lucky enough to be one of the archers on it.
Okay, I don't know what that's on. Maybe it's the piece later. So therefore it's called Soviv. Soviv, you can watch actually the sun going from south to north or north to south. So sometimes you can watch the sun going along these sides. In other words, because in the daytime, in a long day, you're going to watch the sun actually be mahalech. In other words, we're using the word mahalech at Soviv in that mahalech is where you watch it, it's above the horizon, and Soviv is where it's under the horizon. So when you say sometimes it's mahalech, in other words, if you've got a summer day, then you'll watch all of this movement in the sky above you. Because when it rises in the northeast, it'll go all the way across to the south and come back around. So you're watching that heloch. When it rises in the southeast, then how did it get there? It went there behind the earth, so to speak, did that walk over the course of your night, and came up when it was already, because it was all hidden by the horizon, during the nighttime, and therefore must have been so vague, but wasn't mahalech, because you didn't see it. And that's what the pasuk is referring to. There, sometimes it's holeich haruach, and sometimes it's misavavtan, sometimes it's sovev haruach. Omer Mesharshia, less milhani klali, you can't draw a line from your theoretical point of sunrise to your theoretical point of sunset and get a straight line across the north and the south. There's no such thing. The Tanya lo yatzach hamami olam bekeren mizrachit tzfonit v'shak'ah bekeren ma'aravit tzfonit. It ain't ever happened, buddy, that you have the sun crossing back to the north on a winter day when it sets in the west. It's maybe a little bit more to the north, but it's not a line across the north. Lo yatzach hamami bekeren mizrachit dromit in a winter day. Did I say winter day? I meant summer day. I could do it. Winter day, v'shakabe keren maravit romit. So don't try drawing these lines. What do we mean by tkufa? And here we get to the sugya of the Shmuel's, what's called tkufat Shmuel, which is what we generally refer to in the tkufa, which is accurate because it's based on the solar year of 365 and a quarter days. Okay, we know that that's not exactly accurate, but it sure serves for a good first estimate, and it can work very well for a few thousand years before you get seriously messed up, which is our calendar, of course. Omar Shmuel, ein tkufat Nisan. Now, if you take 365 and a quarter of a day, which is 6 hours, so then you have basically four seasons by dividing that 365 days and a quarter. If you divide the 365 days and a quarter, you come out with 91 days and 7.5 hours, right?
7.5 hours.
Because you got to make up. In other words, 6 hours is to make up the 365th day, right? And then you've got another quarter of a day, which is 6 hours. So 1.5 hours each tkufah equals 6, 4 times 1.5. Okay. So which means that if you're taking a look at the tkufat Nisan, which is viewed according to the shita that we follow for Tzarech HaTkufot, that the world was created in Nisan, that means that the sun and the beginning of the tkufah, therefore, was at the beginning of the fourth day, which is when it was created, and therefore it will always come out within that point of a day, because you're always going to have the tkufat Nisan will be nofelet somewhere along the arba'ah with a hayom, o betchilat hayom, o betchilat halayla. So you're going to, therefore, have your, because your each year is off, we're talking about from 1 year to the next, so each year will be off in terms of days. Forget about what day of the week it is. But in terms of days, that is to say hours, it's always off by one quarter of a day. by that, those 6 hours. Because the year splits into an even number of days except for those 6 hours. Right. So if we split those, if we split that quarter of a day, every year is going to be pushed off 6 hours from the year previously in terms of days. But what that means is that if we view the year as starting in Nisan, in Tkufat Nisan, which is the springtime, the Tkufat Aviv, then that means every Tkufat Aviv will be 6 hours different than later than the Tkufat Aviv prior. Okay, so that means if the first Tkufat Aviv was at the beginning of the night, of the Yom HaRevi'i, Leil HaRevi'i, then the next one will be 6 hours later. The next one will be 6 hours later. So it's either noon at night or noon and day. Remember, we have 12 hours, 12-hour periods, not 24-hour periods. So it'll either be at the beginning or it'll be at some 6-hour point. Midnight, exactly at morning. Midday, exactly at night. Midnight, and so on. So it's always going to go around by 6 hours. Now, that means that Nisan will always be somewhere in the beginning point of the four quarters of the day. So, it's either going to be midnight, or it's going to be noon, or it's going to be 0 hours, 0 hours. That's the only way it could be, assuming that the year is exactly 365 days and a quarter. Is this clear? If we don't get this clear, we're nowhere. This is very clear. Every year is 6 hours different than the year before, because it's an uneven number of days. And if we don't care what day of the week we have no awareness of days. We're only interested in where the sun is from one day, to one year to the next. So then it's very clear what's going to happen. Every year we'll start the same point, and the next year will be 6 hours later than the year before. We're just ignoring the days right now. Well, that's the Tkufa follows the solar year. The season is the solar year. We correct our lunar year to make it match the Tkufa, so it shouldn't fall. That's, in fact, the basis of the correction. The basis of the correction is to see to it that Pesach should never fall out of the period of that Tkufa, right? Okay. Now, if that's true, then in Tkufa Tammuz, which is the summer season, that's now the next after spring, how much later would that be? Again, in terms of hours, forget totally the day question, because we're not interested in days over here. Since every Tkufa is one quarter of the year, so therefore it's always going to be 7.5 hours later than the previous Tkufa, because 365 and a quarter divides by 91 days and 7.5 hours. Since every Tkufa is one quarter of a year, so let's ignore the days, because over here we're doing this to modulo 7. The year we went to modulo 364, and we came out with let's keep it in hours. 1.25, right? Easier to remember. So now if we ignore the number of days again, we want to ignore the number of hours in 6-hour pieces. Because all I'm interested in telling you is how many, not hours, but at what point, I'm telling you when Nisan is. Nisan, I'm just telling you, is at midnight, or midday, or beginning, and so on. So at what point in the clock away from Nisan will Tammuz be? It's true, it's 7.5, but we don't care about the 6, because I only want to know where in the clock can it fall. It will always fall 1.5 hours later. Right? Because it's 7.5 hours. So we ignore the 6. And therefore, in Tkufat Tammuz nofelet, o be'achat v'mechza. Let's assume that Nisan was at 0 hours. So then the next Tkufa will be at 1:30, which is 1.5 hours later. Actually, it's 7.5 hours later, but who cares? We don't have an hour marker. We only have that the half-hour marker here. Okay? So it'll be at 1:30, or it'll be at 7:30. So that, as far as our Nisan is concerned, the truth is if Nisan was at 0:00, it'll be at 7:30. If Nisan itself was at 0:00, it's either of night or evening. And that's true whether it's Bein Bayom, Bein Balayla. It's because we have a 1:30 and a 7:30. That's all that we have, because I'm going to keep repeating it. Okay? But what it actually means is either it will be at the 1:30 would be the 13:30 marker in the afternoon, or it would be the Shavuot Mechtzah in the morning. So there's Bein Bayom, Bein Balayla. The next Tkufa, which is the Tkufa Tishrei, which is the autumn, will be now 1.5 hours with another 1.5 hours, because we're now 3 hours ahead. So therefore, compared to the Nisan at 0:00, this will be 3. It's actually compared to Nisan at 6, but again, we're pretending that we don't care about that. So it's always going to be either at 3 hours of the day or at 9 hours, because the 7.5 is 6 hours, or another 6 hours, and we're ignoring it. Yeah, you're right. Here it's 12, correct. I'm sorry. You're 100% right. Yeah. So either it's going to turn out at 3 hours of the day or 9 hours of the day, because whatever Nisan, if Nisan is 6, so to speak, then this is 9, because it's added another 3 hours. Again, Bein Bayom, Bein Balayla, whether that's in the day or nighttime. And then when you get to the winter, you're going to add another 1.5 hours, And then it's going to come out at either 4:30 or at 10:30. When we add the 4:30 to the 6, we add the 4:30 to the 0. So therefore, your tkufot are going to always come out according to this. There is no way that the winter is going to start off at a 0:0 or a 6. And there's no way that a Nisan is not going to come out at a 0:0 and a 6. Fine. So far, so good. Furthermore, in bein tkufa le tkufa, ela tish'in ve'achad yom v'sheva sha'ot v'merza. Correct? There's no way that you can, since the year is going to be split evenly into four parts to get its four seasons, therefore, there is never more than 91 days, 7.5 hours, which times 4 equals 365 days and a quarter, and then everything is fine. That extra 1.5 hours becomes a quarter of a day, becomes 6 hours after four seasons. Now, furthermore, ain't kufa boshechet mecharverta elachatzi sha'a. In terms of the astrological elements that are involved over here, one tkufa will not pull from another tkufa other than 1.5 hours. Now, this is because, you will remember, we had this back in Shabbos, that we have a chalukah of the hours of the day and the night into what were known as the seven kochavim, right, the seven mazalot. Now, these have nothing to do with constellation. Basically, what happened is this. If you view the sky from a geocentric perspective, then certain things are very clear to you, which is that the sky is split into two parts, the parts of the planets that are closer to the sun, what you're going to call Mercury and Venus. Those are the parts that are closer to the sun, and they move relative to the Earth more quickly. And then you're going to get to the other side of the Earth, which of course you don't realize is the other side of the Earth, but you view it as being further away from you. So then you're going to see Mars, and you're going to see Jupiter, and you're going to see Saturn, and then you don't see enough to be able to properly measure planets that are further than that. But, again, from your perspective, the moon and the sun are also revolving around you. And therefore, what you end up having is, as we saw earlier, you have a vision of a rakia that is split into various levels. Again, remember that there was a vision of spheres, these are the heavenly spheres that would surround the earth. The entire sphere moves, bringing along with it the point of light that you would call that particular thing. So the Mercury sphere is moving very quickly. And your Saturn sphere is moving very slowly. So which you therefore understand means that you're in the center of the seven levels of heavens. Each one of them has a different hashpa'ah and a nested level in the world beneath it until it reaches you in the middle. Okay? So because of that, we set up, as we saw earlier, we set up the earth according to these seven rakiyas, so to speak. So that you begin with Mercury, which in Hebrew is kochav. And that's Mercury, because it's right next to it. It's called Kochav. Kochav, Stam, is called Mercury. Then is the moon, again, from your own perspective. And then you switch over to the other side, okay? So then you see, basically, Shabtai and Tzedek. So you have your Saturn, and you have your Jupiter, and you have your Mars, which is Ma'adim. And then you have the Chama and Noga. That's how you'll figure it, Noga being Venus. Okay, yeah. But in terms of the Seder of the day, that's the Seder of the Mazalos. The Seder of the day you actually see according to, in other words, the way that they split it up, was according to the actual levels of the Rikiyas. This is how the Sefer Tachtamoni is, a very ancient Sefer that Rashi quotes over here. I actually had one and left it here in Eretz, so I picked it up in an old bookstore, and when I got back, it had disappeared. But I had a very, very early print of the Sefer Tachtamoni, which Rashi himself quotes over here from all funny names. It was Reb Shabtai Harofe. But in any event, that's how it explains where it came from. So according to this, we have the first hours of the weeks. Remember, when we start off counting according to that order. And if you will recall, we went back in Shabbat to figure out why you shouldn't make Kiddush at a time that Mars was being Sholeit, because it's Kayach of Dan. Remember, we went through this whole thing, that it comes out that on Erev Shabbos, at the beginning of Shabbos, you have the Chozek of Ma'adim, and therefore you don't want to make Kiddush at that time, and so on. All right, so we reviewed that. It happens to be, if you want to see how lovely this works out, the number of hours, once you start counting in the Seder of the count, and I have a beautiful, beautiful chart that Michael Mars, you remember Michael Mars, he'd sit right there where
no,
I was.
Morris.
We used to be in the Daf Yomi right over there until he moved to Modi'in. I was about to say Ma'adin. Okay? He's planning on publishing this. If you take a look according to the Gemara, this Rashi brings over here, the Sha'ot Arishonot of the Laila, Okay? We also, what we could do is we could take these Sha'ot HaRishonot of the Laila, and that's Kachan's Chalam, that's Kachan's dream, okay? But that is unimportant to us, it's very important to the Gemara and Shabbos, because they were trying to figure out when Ma'atim was Sholet. So the long Rashi of Ein Tkufa Moshech. But the Seder of the first hour of the day is Chalam Katznash. So we start with Chama, Levana, right? Ma'adim, and so on. This will be the first one, Kochav. Now, no one in the world knows, you should do a search and you'll find that there are many, many theories about why the days of the week are called what they're called. No one knows. They know who they're called after. But why we would call Sunday after the sun, Monday after the moon, and so on, nobody knows. Except, as Michael has worked it out, Rashi. Because if you take a look at the Seder of the Mazolos that we're talking about over here, the Seder is Chalam Katznash, which happens to be precisely the first hour of the day is Sunday.
Sun
on Yom Rishon. It's the moon on Yom Sheni. It's Mars. That's why it's Tuesday is what we call because it's named after Tsur, after Tyre. But let's say in French, yeah, Mardi. Because that the name for Mars is what's in different in Norse was Tyre. But okay, so it depends, you know, different cultures, but it's the same god. So it's that god of war. So it's either Mars or Mardi or Tyre and Tuesday. The next one has Mercury again because it's Kocha. You understand what's going on here? There's seven. Seven
it was okay until you got to that part.
Oh, you were okay. Okay, so if you take these seven things.
Seven
spheres. These seven spheres, which we call mazolas, mm-hmm. but which are not to be confused with constellations. Mm-hmm. These are heavenly bodies that we see as spheres, uh-huh. as opposed to the constellations, which are further out among the kochavim, against which we measure the kochavim. It's the background. The constellations to us are the background to the sky, but they're not the forward part of the sky, which moves.
So each of these are present in a different part of the day, every day of the week?
Yeah, but it's theoretical. It's not that you see it that way. In other words, we understand the Hashpa. This is astrological. It's astronomical. So we start with the Seder, and once we start with that Seder, it repeats every week, these 7 hours.
Is it arbitrary? The source of the Seder is, the source of the Seder, say, sun? Right, exactly. Where's it? It's a given.
That's a given.
Or it's made up.
I don't know, but the whole world knows it, because the whole world uses this, Seder.
Mercury is number two. Except for
we
Mercury
is number
two.
Right. No. You have to figure out that what hour of the day we're only looking at whatever kochav appears, whatever mazal appears at the first hour of the day to name the day, daytime to name the day.
So that's the sun.
On Sunday, that's the sun. On Monday, that's the moon. Because if you follow, you're starting at the beginning of the Bria with Venus, okay? At the beginning of the week, rather, with Venus. Because that's when Noga comes out, the first hour of the week. That's the Lila. Okay, so that's Noga. The Seder, again, after Noga is Mercury, which is Kochav. It's Chankal. Yeah, no. 0 hours. Hatzot is 6 hours. 0 hours.
Sunset.
Hoshe.
The
beginning of the night, Jewish time, is 0 hours. Okay, so 0 hours is Venus, and so on. You see, now we keep going. At the first hour of the day, you get to Chama. Okay, you then keep going for the next 24 hours. Venus, Mercury, Moon, Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, Sun. Venus, Mercury, Moon, Saturn, Jupiter, Mars. And then you come out in the morning with the Moon. And now you keep going. Moon. Next hour is Saturn. Next hour is Jupiter. Next hour is Mars. You go around 24 hours.
Oh,
Saturn, Jupiter, Mars is the first hour. Because it's seven kochavim that are being split in 24 hours. So it doesn't come out to be the same.
Why
did Rashi have it? Why did the Gemara have this? Why does every culture have it without even knowing that they have it? Because the only thing that you see in the sky that has an impact on you are these seven markers. You don't see anything else moving in the sky. Look, if you're a primitive human being, you look up at the sky. So you see that there are certain patterns in the sky. They're always the same. And you watch everything else moving against those patterns. So you're trying to get your markers in life. Your markers in life are only those patterns, which are the 12 constellations. So that's how you know that you're moving. that the sky is moving. Because all the stars are moving. So you see them moving according to every month. You see the sun is rising, and the one that was previously right across you when the sun was rising is now above you, and the next one is there. And you watch them crawling across the sky, so to speak, right? So you know where you are in the universe. That makes you very happy. Now you see these things moving around in the sky. So the things that move around in the sky are very striking to you, because everything else is solid. And in between all of the solid, you see points of light that move. Some of those points of light are very big, like the sun, or like the moon. Others are very tiny, like Mercury, Venus, and so on, right? So what you can make out is basically five planets and the sun and the moon with your naked eye. So those points become now your moving points of reference against the solid sky. So now what you do is you create a system for how those things impact you, because clearly those are the things that are meaningful to you because they're talking to you in their movement.
Is it true that any day of any Tuesday of the week, of any week of
it has no astronomical reference whatsoever. It becomes now an astrological reference that you reached, you came to understand through your astronomical observances. Right?
And the order has to do somewhat with the predominance of that?
No, the order is entirely spiritual. It's arbitrary. You'll never see it in the sky.
Do we know how it was said in the beginning?
Yes, we know it was said in the beginning based on an analysis of the way in which the Hashfa'a would reach you through these various spheres coming down to you in the center of the universe on the earth.
Is it pagan or Jewish?
There's no difference between pagan and Jewish at this point. You're talking about primitive men. This is how you would see the sky. Remember that the Torah only speaks to primitive men, right? We're not interested in talking to you about what is. We're only interested in talking to you in terms of what you perceive. So this is how you perceive the universe, okay? Therefore, if we're going to use in the Gemara will use this as a simple reference. So we understand that these things have some type of hashpah. But that comes out. Therefore, as Michael points out, every culture has named its days of the week according to the mazel here that is mishamish at the first hour of the day. According to Rashi, this is the klal of chalam katznash. Okay, so chalam katznash is chama, which is Sunday, levona, which is moon day, ma'adin, which is Mars day, mardi in French, right? Or Tuesday, taken from the Norse god. Then you have after that kochav, which is again in French Mercury day, right? Well, we call it Wednesday because it's named after Woden, which is the same god in the Norse mythology, which is the god of war as well. Then you go on to after kochav, you go on to tzedek. So there you have Jupiter day. So that Jupiter indeed is Yunde in French, or Thor in the Norse mythology, which is Thor's day, which we call Thursday in English, not even remembering that it's Thor's day. Right? My father Zatzal always pointed out that you cannot rely on simple Jewish tradition, because Mi'ikar Hadin, you have a chiyuv of remembering Shabbos every day. And in Yiddish, we end up remembering Avodah Zarah. Dunashtik. Thor's thunder. And so, yeah, exactly. Right. In other words, we take the German, which is named after Norse gods. So we turn that into our Kurdish Yiddish. You're going to be Semech. Now, Montik, you're going to be Semech on. This is for moon worshippers. What exactly is this for, right?
Well, Mittwoch.
Mittwoch is okay, yeah. Okay. Then you have Nun, which is no god. That's the pretty day. So again, over here, that becomes Freya, who is in the Norse mythology, which is Venus, which is Vendredi in the French, named after Venus. We call it Friday because English took from Norse. And then you have Saturn, which is Saturday, which in Hebrew is Shabbatai, right? So Shabbat is Saturn, is Shabbatai.
But in Hebrew, it's the only one that matters.
Correct. Exactly. So it was a Rishon of Shabbat. So he was Shabbat. He's going to publish this as an article.
Very cool, man.
Because like nobody knows. It's one of the strange things that nobody understands. Where did we get this from? But not where it came from, silly. Why is Friday named after Freya? Okay. You weren't taught that. Nobody knows that. Everybody knows that.
You still haven't explained the order.
I explained the order according to Sefer HaTachkamoni.
Okay, but why this was first and second and third.
I did explain why it's first, second, and third, but not why we keep going across that order. There is no reason for that.
That's arbitrary.
We've explained why it is that I, from my perspective, see things going in the organization in which the greater sphere will have a broader hashpa'a on me, and so on. So something which is on the highest heaven, which I see as having the slowest orbit, being further away from me, will be something that holds the water, let's say. That's the Aravot, in which the blessings come, and so on, you know?
Well, one might think that Venus is more predominant than any of the other planets, right? Because those wrongs in our...
Yeah, so I may see it not as a predominance, but in all things. I'm seeing a predominance in its immediacy, which is why it's beautiful. And why Kochav Noga is the most attractive, or in Kabbalistic terms, Noga is that element of all things that is attached to Kedusha, but it fools you, because it really looks very beautiful. Its form is thought,
is there as far of how far it is from the beginning of the week? Is there something?
No, it just keeps going round and round.
Well, I just think my Venus is fixed for sixth day of the week.
Yes, it's the sixth day of the week because it begins in the first day of the hour in order from the beginning. It's not coincidental. We take the same 7 hours and we go again, seven, and count again.
Venus is the sixth.
I didn't put, what do you mean? I didn't put Venus as the sixth. It worked out that. Here's the chart. Take a look how it works out. You'll see it.
Didn't you have to start off by picking seven events, seven bodies, and saying this one we're going to call the first body, second, third?
Yes. Oh, you mean why we go in the order?
Yes,
I just explained why. It's in terms of the organization of how you see the spheres. Why we just repeat it?
I understand.
I can't tell you. I don't know. But, okay, so again, this is how the Sefer Tachkamoni explains it. So, but that would mean that only an hour would be able to move something into a different kochav. A half an hour can only steal half of the time of that kochav, which is why, since it's only a half an hour apart in terms of the kochavim, where I don't care how many days or half days or anything else, so therefore, ein tkufa moshechet michavertai lechatzi sha'a. All you're going to tear away, you're going to steal, that was part of the previous tkufa that you can now have part of, is half an hour, because it's always 7.5 hours difference from each 91 day, after each 91 day difference, 7.5 hours. The hours don't matter, because it's either entirely yours or it's entirely the other tkufas. But the half hour matters, because every hour has its own mazal. So you're going to be taking a half of the mazal, a half an hour. That's what you'll be taking, correct? Right? The Omer Shmuel, furthermore, it's a Shmuel, Ein lecha tkufat nisan shenofelet betzedek, she'ena mishaberet et ha'ilanot. If tkufat nisan turns out to be at an hour of Jupiter, then the trees get busted. There's so much wind and so on and so forth. Ein lecha tkufat tevet shenofelet betzedek, she'ena miyabeshet et ha'zra'im. You also will never find a tkufat tevet, which comes out just coincidentally, because there's no clear-cut relationship. Obviously, it will be patterns, so you'll never know without working out the math of it. But if it falls out in Jupiter, that Tkufat Tevet comes out, then it'll be Mi'abeshet Tazra'im. That year will end up being very dry, and all the things you plant are going to be dried. But this is only, V'hudi Ityalid Levana, this is only if the new moon, which is unrelated to any of this, because this is all solar stuff, so it's only if the relationship to the moon is that the molad of the Levana, of that beginning Tkufa, will come out to be either in Levana, which of course has nothing to do with the moon, in a sense, right, but it means the hour of the day or night that Lavana is shalei. Nothing to do with the Lavana being actually there or any phenomena we can observe in the Lavana. But if the observable phenomena of the Molad HaLavana occurs at the hour of the day or night, which is under the Hashpa'a of Levana, according to the seven Mazalot, either Nisan or Tevet, or if it comes out under the Hashpa'a of Jupiter. So in other words, you would need three Tzda'im for these catastrophic things to occur. It has to be related to the moon, it has to be related to the Kochav, and it has to be related to when it is that the Tkufa is falling in relationship to the
hour of the day of the Tkufa or the day of the week?
Of the Tkufa?
Yeah. Only if it falls out.
Neither, really. The first part is if it falls out at the hour which is the Kocha. It doesn't really matter the day of the week. It doesn't really matter the time of the night even.
Did you see something on the impact of the planets?
I don't know what all that is.
Would one look mind this
morning? No, I think one would ignore it. I think one would ignore astrological elements anymore.
Because
so,
things have changed since then?
Turn the rub on it. I don't know about that stuff. That's all you need to put on the internet. You know. Tana Ravon, Hamirabea et ha'ir. Now, getting back to our, we've now discovered how to deal with northeast, south, and west.
Okay, sure.
That's a very big advance. Now that we're going to, we've already know where northeast, south, and west is, we're going to start drawing our box. Okay, so we're being Mirabea et ha'ir. We said, Oseotak mitabla merubat. Now, that's the city. The city becomes a square, no matter how it's shaped, right? And it becomes a square if we make it a square. In other words, if it wasn't first a square all on its own, if we're making it a square, we're going to make it a perfect northeast, southwest square or rectangle. All right. Then we've got our tchumin. Let's think about our tchumin.
Square or rectangle?
Depends how it's shaped. If it's shaped round, let's say it's shaped like a circle, it becomes a square. If it's shaped irregularly, it makes them a rectangle if it's further in one direction than the other. Okay? But all that we're doing is we're evening out the corners. That's what we're doing. Well, and the middle part, if it's keshet, gamma, or extended on one side, not across the whole side. But after we've got that, we've got a square. Fine. Then we create the tchumin. For the tchumin, we make another square. Because if we would have simply measured 2,000 amot, then we would have a line that would be rounded or diagonal at the corners. In other words, again, let's open up our city as if it's a box. We take out the flap to the east, extend it 2,000 amot. To the west, and extend it 2,000 amot. We put out a flap to the north, 2,000 amot. Flap to the south, 2,000 amot. Now, what about the four corners? Don't have any flaps. Okay, so let's pretend that we start off from the edge of the city going out. If we're going to draw a line of 2,000 amot, then that line is going to be on a diagonal between the other two flaps.
And we'll be rounding the corners.
Right. But we don't want rounded corners because the Torah said pa'atid, we learned you're supposed to give it corners. Therefore, we add a whole piece, a whole extra square, to make up for the missing flap in each corner. So that means we've got 2,000 amot by 2,000 amot box in the northeast corner, a similar box in the northwest corner, similar box in the southwest corner, and a similar box in the southeast corner, correct?
what we've achieved. Or
triangles. No, not triangles. A box of 2,000 by 2,000. The addition you can view as triangular. So again, if you take a look in your Gemara over here, I don't know, no, no, I can't see it in the Gemara. Yeah, okay, so this is a nice picture, but it's very small. Let me see if I have a bigger picture. Oh, oh, here we go.
And
nice,
color too.
Good old color pictures. Okay, so here we go. I don't know, okay. So if we opened up the city from the middle, we would have this, 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 and 204. We would have an open box, right? 1, 2, 3, 4. What we do is we add in the same amount in the corner. Obviously, some of this would have been here anyway, because if you walk out from here, you would have gotten up to about there, right?
You know what percentage?
We're going to figure out this, okay? I don't know how you want to figure out percentage in terms of square feet. All right, we'll do that. We'll do that in terms of area. We're about to do that, so hold on. So, but what we've done is, so we've extended, really. We've made everything into a box. But that means we've got two extensions. One extension is we originally took, let's say, a round city, such as in 203. We extended the circle out into a square. Now, that gave us, if you think about it, if remember, we take pi as 3, correct? So it means if you think about the same way we take, this works out perfectly, same way we take the square root of 2 as being 1.4, we take pi as 3, which means that the circle inside of that box was actually here. If we look at the, it's 2,000 on mode, let's assume, and that way we keep things even, otherwise we'll go crazy. Let's take a city that's a 2,000 on mode diameter circle. So that means if we put it in a box is 2,000 by 2,000.
8,000 versus 6,000.
We're not talking about area yet. We're talking about the distance that you can walk. So if you start walking out now the radius of the circle to the corner of the box, you will get an additional 1.4 in your corner, right? Because if the radius over here is 1,000. So if you're going to extend it now to a box that has four sides, what's the diagonal going to be? The box, the small box on the side will be 1,000 amot by 1,000 amot, because the radius is 1,000. Mm-hmm. So you've got four boxes of 1 by 1, correct? I don't know why they don't show this, but you have four boxes of 1 by 1 in the middle. They do show it, sort of, in picture 205. So if you take those four boxes...
The city. Right?
Yeah, the city would actually be the same as this. So this area, you've got four boxes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that means that what you have to do is you take the, according to Pythagoras, you're going to take the square root of 2 here, along the diagonal. That will give you 1.4 mm-hmm. from the center of the circle to the end of the square. That means instead of being able to walk now 1,000 amot, you've got 1,400 amot. So we've already added 400 amot to the city before we started on the corner. Since the tchum is 2,000 amot, it's going to be double that, and you're going to end up adding 800 amot. So that means there's a total addition to this city of 1,200 amot. So instead of walking from the circle that ended the city 2,000 amot, you're going to actually work 3,200 amot, correct?
Yeah, no. How do we get 1,200 amot?
You have 400 here, which you saw, because instead of a 1 radius, you end up walking 1.4,
okay,
which is the diagonal of
the
square.
The corner of the box, square box, right?
And 1.4 is 400 amot. Over here, instead of 2,000 amot, which would have ended up here, you have 2,800,
okay,
because this is 2,000 times 1.4, that's 28. Okay. So that means this is extended by 800 amot, this is extended by 400 amot. Gives you 1,200 amot
addition. In one direction.
In any direction. Okay. So you end up walking 28, not in any direction.
New direction to the corner.
Any of the four directions to the end, to the corners. So you end up having 3,200 amot to the end. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so remembering that, we can now tackle the next piece. So we have two separate things. First, your merabea, the city, kitabla merubah. Then, your merabea, the tchumim. Umerabea, the tchumim. And you make them also kibin tabla merubah. The kishu modeid, lo yimdod, mi emtza hakeren, el paim amah. And don't start at the edge of a city and count 2,000 amot, because then you're going to be mafsid et hazavayot, and you're going to lose the corners, and you have rights to the corners. Instead, bring a virtual ruler, which is a square of a tabla berubat, of 2,000 by 2,000, and stick it in the corner. And that is the new tchum, which I just showed you. Those are in the side of the flaps. You stick that virtual additional area of 2,000 by 2,000. Again, all of this is assuming that the city is 2,000, right? So that each piece is 2,000 by 2,000. Umenicha bekeren, you put it right there in the corner by Alachsona at the diagonal. Nimtza ha'ir mistakeret arba meot amot v'kan v'arba meot amot l'kan. So now, the city's own municipal boundaries have just been extended by 400 amot in every corner. So it's got a lot of additional space there, right? Okay, so far we're not talking about area.
And that's when the city is 1,000 by 1,000?
2,000 by 2,000. The radius is 1,000. So if the radius is 1,000, that means the city now consists of four boxes of 1,000 by 1,000. Instead of one circle, which is one-third less than that if pi is 3. Okay, because now you had four four sides, and I have three sides, so to speak. Okay? So you gained all of that foresight, and the tumim outside of that box are now going to profit by 800 amot, because they're going to be 1.4 times 2,000 amot. Mm-hmm. Because the square, if we take the triangle, we make that the square into two triangles, mm-hmm. two right triangles, so then the diagonal, which is the hypotenuse of the right triangle, is now going to be the square root of 2. So it comes out to be 2.8, if it's multiplied by 2, 1.4 times 2, because it's 2,000 amot. The sides, each side is 2, so it was, again, 2,800. So now you've got a lot of profit over here.
Oh, amen.
If you walk
the square root of
800,
if you walk to the diagonal, and you have a longer space to walk, then you get the extra 200 amot. If you walk,
correct.
If you walk straight,
correct. You only gain it if you're like a guy who likes to avoid the right path. You want to go towards the edges.
No, that
was Lagabe, not Lagabe Tumim. That was Lagabe personal space. The Arba Amot Bershut Rabim. It doesn't have any references to the Seder HaElam. It's the way Rashi was machalik. Again, we had Machlokas Rishonim over there how to view it.
And why is it the radius that we're counting, not from the edge of the city to that?
We are counting from the edge of the city, but the edge of the city has now been extended by 400 amot from that radius. Because the radius only gave you a circle, and we have to be merabeh because the Torah said pa'at. So we're giving it now that extra 400. Okay, that means you got a total nimtzua irva tchumim together. We're mistaker elef umatayim lakan. You ended up with 1,200 additional amot. It's amazing. Here you thought you could barely go. You almost doubled your tchum. You've got 1,200 amot in every corner direction. So elef umatayim lakan, elef umatayim lakan. Omer Abaye says, of course, please remember that we're talking about a standard. I mean, obviously, it depends on how big the circle was in the beginning. We're talking about a city that is 2,000 amot, of course, the original city. So you now have a 2,000 amot by 2,000 amot city in the middle, and you've now got your square, the tchumim, that have been extended by a box the same size as the city on every single side. Now here is where we start measuring the area of Tanya. Ready? Great. Omer Rebbe Eliezer Rebbe Yossi. According to this, the tchum of the Orei Leviim, which the Torah says give 2,000 amot to the Orei Leviim. That was the pasuk that we darshan this whole business from, right? That's where we came up with the tchum connection. Okay? So there it says, Alpayim ba'amah. But the other city, of course, said, Elef amah. The count from the city, and we know the famous answer. We have two separate areas around each of the Arei Leviim. 1,000 amot dedicated as a park, in which no construction, no planting, no orchards are allowed, no agriculture, just open parkland. And then 1,000 amot past that is the agricultural belt for the city, in which you can have your vineyards and your orchards and your fields and so on and so forth, which belong to the Leviim and are close to their cities. Says Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yossi. Yes, from a religious point of view, it is. From an aesthetic point of view, which happens to be the basis of our religion, as we know from Brit Milah, but from an aesthetic point of view, it's very important. To have a city that is surrounded by shopping centers and garbage is not considered to be a proper city for Eretz Israel. It's called grass.
Park.
It's this green stuff.
Park.
Yeah, I think in New Zealand they have some of that. Okay. So now you've got 1,000 amot that you have to reduce out of that, because that the 1,000 amot is the migrash. It's kept as a migrash and can't be used. So that means that the migrash is a quarter of the total space of the Levim's area. The hashar sadot uchramim, and then the agricultural belt besides that quarter is whatever, fields, vineyards, orchards. How do we know this? Minani mili. Amar Ravid, Yamar Krov. We already saw before. It says befeish migrashei ha'arim ashet nu la'levim nikir ha'ir v'chutza elef amasav. So the Torah is defining a migrash, that is to be left as an open migrash. We use that term today also. And that is meant to be an elef amma. So that means Amrat Torah, Savev et ha'ir be'elef, give it 1,000 around the city for migrash, which means Nimtza migrash revia, which means that the migrash is a quarter. What? Last time I heard 1,000 was one half of 2,000, not a quarter of 2,000. Revia, says the Gemara, Palgahavi. 1,000 amot is half of 2,000 amot. Says Rava, look, what you need for this is a surveyor. And I went to talk to him, and he explained it to me, okay? The famous guy, Bar Ada Mishulcha, Bar Ada the Moshe, which is his name, surveyor, Osberle, he explained it to me in terms of the area is what we're referring to, okay? Assuming that we start off with a city of 2,000 amot by 2,000 amot, which is what we've been using as our model to keep it simple because our tumim are 2,000. That way we get a square every time we look. A square for the tum, a square for the city, they're all equal squares. So this is a great way of making a model that people can understand. So he explained it to me like that. Mashkachatla, this works out perfectly if you take a city, Bemata, Tahavitrei Alfe, Atrei Alfe. This city is 2,000 by 2,000, okay? Now, if we take a look in our little picture over here, our two, doesn't really matter. Our 2,000 by 2,000 city is now going to also have on each side of it, as he pointed out to me, you're going to have tchum kamahave shitza, surround that original tchum of the migrash over here. You're going to have 16 that will go around it, correct? Because you've got four boxes in the middle, which we're ignoring. Those four boxes that we're gonna call the actual city. Okay. So then, if we take a look at the 1,000 all the way around it, what do we have? We have now, can we count?
4 times 4 is 4.
1, 2, 3, 4. Now we've got 4 squared, right? 4 squared is 16. Okay. So you're going to have 16 for the Migrash because we take 1,000 amas square, we'll put it all around, okay?
12.
No. Actually, it's 4 by 4.
Picture it.
In other words, take the box that we talked about, the flaps. How many flaps are there? Open up the flaps of the box. Okay, so the flaps of the box, there's 4 flaps of the box. This is Gimel?
Yes.
So the 4 flaps of the box, each one is 2,000 by 2,000. So in terms of 1 kilometer square pieces, 16 square kilometers, right? Each box is 4 square kilometers, 1,000 amot, 4 times. 16 square kilometers gives us just the tchum. Okay, that's before we add the corners, all right? Now, how much do you have to add for the corners? An additional 16. Because you're going to fill in 4 more in the corners. Okay, gives you 16. All right, so now all together, you've got now another 16. I can't know how to read this. Kronos kamahave shitza. Okay. Dalt manya de tchumim. So now what you have to take off over here is to take away the elef ama, which is the migrash. Okay, so how much migrash are we going to take out? We have exactly the same situation if we take out the migrash, because the migrash is only 1,000 ama by 1,000 ama box. All right? And then, so how much are we going to take out of the 16 that we had before? We have the eight pieces, right, plus the corners, which are another 4. If we just opened up to 1,000, so we've got 12, okay? Kamahave treitzar. You're now going to have 13 1 by 1 kilometer boxes. 12 1 by 1 kilometer boxes. And it's somewhere here is supposed to show that. I don't know where. Okay, I mean, but they're not showing the boxes. It's a little funny to make a chart, but all right. But again, I think that this chart is a lot easier because it has it split into the separate boxes of 1 by 1. So if you take a look in your picture 205 or 206. Take a look at 206. Sorry, 205. Take a look at 205. You want to take off the Midrash. The Midrash is the brown. I don't know what those.
The bottom right corner. Bottom right corner for you. On the neck. Oh, that one right there.
Okay, it's the same picture. All right, the same thing. Yeah, sorry. Minus the circle. So the area in 204 in the blue line, yes, this one has a circle. The area in 204 in the blue line has very clear indication of where the migrash is. The migrash is in the blue line. The brown area within the blue line, you can see, you want to look? The brown area in the blue line is the area of the migrash, which is the flat that comes out. The red area in the blue line is the corner that we added. We added 4 corners of 1 by 1. And we have in the middle, the brown area, we also have an additional 8. 8 and 4 is 12. So 12 out of the total of 16, which we had before.
32.
No.
32.
No, if you're adding that becomes 20.
We got the 16.
We originally had 16.
No, 16 plus the corners is another 16.
Plus the centers.
We started off...
16.
We started off by 32. 16 by... Sorry, right, we with the corona. So now we have 12 out of... Take off the 8 and the other 4, which is 12. So now that means that the migrash we're claiming is a quarter. It's 12 out of 32. We're pretending for a moment that we're ignoring the city. Because the city is city. That's not tchum. We will, but we haven't included the city. With the city, it's 36, right? Because it's 6 by 6. Six boxes by 6 boxes of 2,000, right? But we're not including the city. So it's 32 now. Because we're ignoring the middle box. Later, we're going to fix it by including the city, obviously. But right now we're not fixing it. So can you want to take it back?
Well,
okay. So now that gives us nimtza. So now according to this, the dots banded the tchumim va'abadikron. Let's take out the eight of the tchum, which is a little funny, confusing. What it means is the tchum, meaning of the migrash, the four additional boxes of the migrash, which is 12. So korot, it's now together, kama having tresar. That means that the tresar is now a fourth of the 32. What? It's bigger than a third. How do you get a fourth? You have 32. 12 out of 32 is more than a third. So how did you, how can you possibly call it a revia?
It's vei
mitlasanin. Ah, you forgot the city, as Abba pointed out. Aite arba demata. You have to add an additional 4 square kilometers. It's four of the, because we're dealing now in one by ones, which are kilometer by kilometer. So take now the additional 4 square kilometers of the city, add it on, you now have a total of 36. You have a total of 36, and now you've got 12, that makes it a quarter. Sorry. I got the tilsahavi. All you've done is bring it down to 1/3, exactly. Before it was even bigger than a third. Now it's 1/3, but still ain't no revia. So I don't know where you got this. It's a corner. Ah! Did you think we were talking about a square city? No way. We were talking about a round city, you see.
And a square peg.
So now, mi savit biribua ka'amar, bi igula ka'amar. We're talking about a round city. A round city has a round migrash, because the peyot were offered for the entire tchum of alpayim ama, pa'at negba, and so on. But in the round city, we're going to have to take the parkland and build it around the city in an igula. The problem is that if pi is 3, and then we have a simple relationship of 3 to 4. It's as if you had a square now of 3 and now a square of 4. Okay, so that means that the difference is, what's the difference? Kama have the migrash larger now that we've made it.
Where are we?
Kama meruba yeter ala igul. How much greater is the square than the circle, if pi is 3? Exactly a quarter. Because in order to multiply, instead of multiplying by pi, which confuses things, we multiply by 3. Whereas when we were squaring, so we have pi squared, we now have 3 squared. What did we have in the case of the square? We had 4. So instead of having a side of 3, we have a side of 4. That's fine. So pashaluhu tisha. So now what we're talking about is leaving over, instead of 12, the 12 suddenly turned into 9. Because what was previously squared, we have to take off now 1/4 of. 1/4 of 12, each quarter is 3, leaves us with 9 instead of 12, because 12 minus 3 is 9. We now have an area of parkland that is only 9 square kilometers. 9 square kilometers out of 36 happens to be exactly 1/4. And that is how we got the idea of 1/4. So what it means is 1/4 of the total area of the city plus its entire tchum of the Arei Levim. After the peyot were offered, we now have to recognize that the Torah requires 25% parkland in the gift of an Ir Levi'im. That is a beautiful deduction.
Parkland?
Sorry?
Center of the city, you're calling parkland?
No. The circle around the city. The circle around the city is exactly 25% of the total area, halakhically speaking, if pi is 3. Okay? Works out beautifully.
It's
a tremendous finish. No. We have, because it doesn't say pa'at there. Right. That's how we ended up getting it to work out so nicely. But of course, all of that information was given by offering us something that struck us as being cuckoo. How could 1,000 be 1/4 of 2,000? So he forced us into figuring all of this out by giving us those values. Now we learned out all these fascinating new halakhot.
So we took the round city, pushed out the corner, you made a corner, and then gave it a certain
for the tchum. For the total tchum. And then we ended up with 6 by 6.
So we squared off the round, and then we pushed.
First we squared off the round and got 4 by 4.
Right. Then we pushed everything.
And then we pushed everything else by another 2,000 amot on every side, plus the corners, gave us 6 by 6 kilometers, which is now 3,600 of the 36 square kilometers.
Okay.
Now we said, okay, how much of that is going to be parkland?
We got 8, and then additional little corners.
No, there's no corners.
No,
in fact, we don't even have really, what we have now is the corners that we had originally assumed to be full of homes in the city area, because we thought that that was city, but it wasn't really city, because now it's a round city. So we took the entire area out of the city, pushed it out by 1,000 amot around the city, which gave us only 9, not 12, which means that 9 square kilometers, except that they're not square, they're sort of roundy, you know, but 9 square kilometers of shetach is 25% of 36 square kilometers. It depends which city it is, obviously. We're talking about a theoretical city. A theoretical city that has a diameter, it's a round city, and has a diameter of of 2000 ends up being committed to a tchum that extends now 6 2,000 squares around it, and a total of which 9 would be parkland. Okay.
Picture for that?
No, we saw it. Okay. That's our picture with the blue line, the blue 205. 205 gives us the reading as we now have it. We still have our 2,000 amot in the middle. We have all of that area for the parkland around.
But
the area that the Levium have for their agriculture will be a square. If you're looking at it from the sky, what you'll see is a round park circle with a city, which is the middle of the bullseye. Our bullet man is thinking about this in terms of lasers and targets. And then you see around the edges, Saddam Hussein's around the edges you see orchards. And boy, you're doing me in here with these images.
So you have a center with a diameter with radius of 1,000.
Right.
Gives you pi.
Not pi, 3.
Pi. No, you say pi. Yeah. You have one that's 2,000. That's 4 pi. So you end up with 3 pi is the area.
No, you have one that's 3,000. Because you have
4 pi minus 1 pi is 3 pi.
No, you have 4. Four, because you're extending 1,000 on either side.
It gives you 4, but you have to take away the city, which is 1 pi.
No, the city is 2.
No, if you pi r squared is the area of the city. Pi is
oh,
one.
Okay. The radius is 1.
Right, so that's pi.
Okay, and now
you've got... And now the radius is 2, it's 4 pi.
No, but the Gemara is not talking about the relationship of the park to the city. It's talking about the relationship of the park to the entire...
Area outside the empty area.
Empty area.
3 pi, and then play that against the 36.
Okay, that's another way of doing it. The Gemara took the simple way out. It simply reduced...
Well, she said pi is 3.
Yeah, but the Gemara just simply reduced the given.
After
so here we are. We're chazering today. Daf Nunvav. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Kol ir sheyesh b'balo demoradot adam uvdei ma sheba metim b'chatzi yemehen. Metim sakatayla. Eno maskinim b'chatzi yemehen. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Yehuda Ani muliyot t'vei birik vei nar shra. As kanun. Tan Rabbanan. Bol Rav Amar Rav Abri bua olam. No tein tzvon ala tzvon olam, vrom ala vrom olam, v'simanecha agala v'tzafon v'yak Rav b'doron. Rav Yosef Meri Meri Yodei ala Rav Abri bua shal olam, mirav akim minat kufa. Ketzav chama yotza b'yom arof v'shalkat b'yom arof zo b'nei tzafon. Chama yotza b'yom katzer shalkat b'yom katzer zo b'nei doron. Tkufat nisan, tkufat tishrei chama yotza b'chatzi mizrak v'shalkat b'chatzi ma'arav. Shema olech al doron v'sovev al tzafon. Olech al doron b'yom. Sovev al tzafon overnight, balayla. Then sovev holeh. Make up your mind. Ah, that's b'nei mizrach or b'nei ma'arav. Sometimes it's sovev, sometimes it's holeh. Depends if it's summertime or wintertime. So shepa'amim alaktam, u'pa'amim nisavavavtam. Omer b'shasha. Less than only klal. It doesn't work. T'tanya, lo yatza chama mi'olam mikeren mizrachit tzfonit v'shaka b'keren ma'aravit romit. Lo yatza chama mikeren mizrachit romit v'shaka b'keren ma'aravit romit. Omer Shmuel, in tkufat nisan nofelet, elo ba'arba ari vehayom, either b'tchilat hayom or b'tchilat hayla, either b'chatzi hayom or b'chatzi hayla, and then the next tkufat, tkufat tamuz, is not nofelet elo b'chat v'mechza, or sheva v'mechza, again, b'yom 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 b'layla, in tkufat tishrei nofelet, o b'shalosh sha'ot, o b'teisha sha'ot, b'yom 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 b'layla, v'in tkufat tevet nofelet, elo ba'arba v'mechza, o b'ezer v'mechza, b'yom 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 b'layla, v'in b'yom tkufat, tkufat l'tishim v'yachat yom, v'sheva sha'ot v'mechza, v'in tkufat משכת מחברתה from the מזלות אלא חצי שעה. אומר שמו, אין לך תקופת ניסן שנופלת בצדק שאינה משברת את האילנות, ואין לך תקופת טבת שנופלת בצדק שאינה מייבשת את הזרעים. והוא תתיילד לבנה או בלבנה או בצדק. תן רבנן, המרבע את העיר עושה אותה כמיטה במרובד, and then he comes again וחוזר ומרבע את התחומים, and he does the same thing, ועושה אותן כמיטה במרובד. וכשהוא מודד, לא ינטוב באמצע הקרן 2,000 אמה, because then he doesn't have the corners. הוא מפסיק את הזוויות. אלא maybe another טבלה מרובד, which is 2,000 אמה, 2,000 אמה, and stick it in every corner. מניחה בקרן בלקסונה. Total would be like this. Ha'ir mistakeret arba meot amot lekan v'arba ameot ama lekan, because if it's a circle, it now gets another 400 amas from the perimeter. And the tchumim have been extended to 2,800 amot in the corners, so they're mistakrib shmona meot amot lekan v'shmona meot ama lekan, nimtzut that together ha'ir v'atchumim mistakrim elef u'matayim lekan v'elef u'matayim lekan. Om Rabbi, of course, all these measurements are a standard model in which bashkachet la b'mata davi trei alfei a trei alfei. Tanya Omer Eliezer Rav Yosef. Tchum arei leviim alpaim ama, but tzeimeyam elef ama migrash, which means that the migrash is revia from the whole thing. V'ashar sadot ukrami. Minani vile, amaravi amakrami kira ir v'chutza, elef ama saviv. Amratara Savevata Irbe Elef. Okay. Nimsa Migrash Ravia. What? Ravia Palgave. Omarava Bar Adam Shukhaz Barlim. That Mashkachatla, Mimata Davi Tre Alfi Atre Alfi. Now, the Tchum would be how much? Directly the flaps would be Shetza. Kronotka Mahavi would be another Shetza. Again, if we take Shetza meaning in terms of square kilometers, 1,000 by 1,000. The reason we're doing it this way is because we want the Migrash, which is 1,000, to be clearly part of the units. Okay? So we make units of 1,000 by 1,000. So now I've got 16 such units, and now you got to take off 32 total. You got to take off Dal Tumanya, the Tchum, you've got 8 units of the Tchum. Arba of the Kronot, together is Kamahavi, Tresan into Migrash Revia. Via. Tvei Mitrasaninu. Okay, sorry. And another 4 of the Mat of the city itself. Throw that on. Shti Alayo. So now you got 36. Okay. But 12 of 36 is still Ikatik Flitahav. It's 1/3, not 1/4. No, Misavik Ribua Kamar. Bigula Kamar. Kamamuruba Yetra Lago. Revia. So now take off a Revia from the 12, and what do you get? Tisha, and Tisha out of 36 is Riba, and now everything is happy.
This is my question.